Stepping out in faith rather than wandering around in fear. Next on The Balanced Word.
Do I do what God really wants me to do? Or do I hold back? Do I walk in circles because I'm afraid? The Bible has a whole lot to say about fear. You know, Jesus was constantly having to tell the disciples, don't fear, fear not. Throughout the scriptures, God is going, you just need to fear me. Don't fear anything else. Solomon said in Proverbs 29, the fear of man is a snare. It will trip you up every time.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Is there something that's holding you back from experiencing all that God wants for your life? Often it's fear, just as it was for the people we'll meet today on The Balanced Word. As our series on the Bible stories continues with Dave Rolfe, we open up Numbers chapters 13 and 14. 12 men were picked out to spy out the land of Canaan, and they came back with a troubling report. Fear and rebellion would keep them from experiencing the promised land, and instead they wander around in the desert. Pastor Dave will show us how this mirrors many lives today, perhaps even your own.
I would like to suggest to you that for so many of us, we come short of all that God has for us, and we never really fulfill those things that at one time we're feeling like, oh, this is the life that God wants me to have. I want to have a life that's so full, and I've dreamed and imagined what that would be like. And for some of us, we come short of that for the same reason that the children of Israel here missed out. So as the story unfolds, they've come to the border of Israel. And God told Moses here in chapter 13, I want you to send 12 people, one from each of the 12 tribes who are leaders, and send them to spy out the land. I want you to see what it is that you're getting yourself in for, in other words. And that was a smart thing to do. So as you see in chapter 13, down from verses 4 through verse 15, the list of one person from each tribe. Now, you'll notice that there is no tribe of Levi that had a representative. The Levites had special obligations and responsibilities. But whenever you see the lists of the tribes, sometimes they differ. There's always 12 of them. And in this case, the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, were each seen as distinct tribes. You might remember that was the promise that Jacob had made to them, that they would, each of these two boys would have an equal share in the inheritance. So in this case, it's 12 tribes, but two of them are actually from Joseph, and the other 10 are from the other brothers of Joseph, not counting Levi, who wasn't counted here. So what they did is each tribe, you picked the most promising, the most capable person in their family. You pick the best of the best. These are the cream of the crop of Israel out of 1.5 to 2 million people or so. So to get selected was kind of a special thing. And Moses sat them down and gave them their instructions. And notice, beginning with verse 16, Numbers chapter 13, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So he set Joshua up as the leader of the 12 tribes, basically. And Joshua would end up leading the children of Israel after Moses died. Remember, Joshua showed up in the story before. He went up on Mount Sinai with Moses. He would go to the tent of meeting with him to meet with the Lord. So then it says, verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. Now, you probably know that when the children of Israel, all of them finally went into the land, they went across the Jordan River into what we would call today the West Bank, where Jericho and Ai are, and Hebron is near there, and it's north of Jerusalem. But where he was sending the spies wasn't there, because it was safer and a better route to go down south below the Dead Sea and come up over the mountains where En-Gedi is and all that and enter the land. That way you'd be more sneaky. You couldn't do that with a couple million people, but with 12 guys who were cream of the crop guys, you could. So he told them to go up that way, and verse 18, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So he says, get as much information as you can. How's the soil for farming? What's the layout of the land politically? Are there just little tents or villages? Or are there actual nations that occupy different regions? And do their cities look more like a place that you could just walk into and it's very friendly? Or do they live in fortresses? And, you know, he asked them all these things. Do they look like they're armed? Do they look like they're what kind of security systems do they have in place? Are there guards? So scope it out and see what you think. And this was a smart thing to do, to know what you're getting in for. And so he lays it out. And besides that, now they've been living in the desert for 2 years. So he said, get some fruit while you're at it. And so these 12 guys went that route up over the mountains. And boy, they discovered a lot. But they saw what a fertile piece of land this is. This is a great place. And as they came in over the mountains, I'm sure as they came from the desert up over the mountains, and then they began to see laid out before them, there's the Mediterranean Sea that you could easily see from there across. And whoa, and there's beautiful lush land. As they look to the north, they see the Jordan River Valley. That's the place where Lot actually said, I want to go there. But as they saw the land and they went down in it, it was a mixed bag. But they found, there was a lot of fruit. They found a bunch of grapes that was so huge that they put it on a pole and two men had to carry the grapes. They also picked up some figs and pomegranates. And they came back after 40 days. And so Moses sat down with them and said, so what's your report? What'd you see? And they said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is this land is amazing. They use the expression, it's flowing with milk and honey. I'm not sure I would go to war over milk and honey, but I might over milk, chocolate, and caramel. So I think it was something sort of like that. But they go, the land is awesome. And look at this fruit we brought back. And, it's great. So what's the bad news? Well, for one thing, when you go over the mountains, people that live in the mountains are giants. The sons of Anak are there. And these guys are bigger than we could ever imagine. And they're armed to the teeth. And it seems like every city looks like a fort. It has big walls around it, huge walls that you could drive a chariot around. It was ridiculous. And the trouble is, it's not just like one area and there's some empty space we could go and settle. Because there are, you know, Ammonites, Amalekites, Hittites, Perizzites, all these, probably termites. And it's just like they're settled in all of these regions. We can't do this. Only one spy spoke up and had an alternate opinion, and that was Caleb. After the people were all upset because of all of these ites that were there, it says in verse 30 of chapter 13 of Numbers, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He's like, yeah, there's giants, and yeah, it's strong cities, but let's do it. Let's just do this. Let's go. Let's get it. Caleb was an incredibly brave person. We see that later on. When he's 80 years old, he can pick any piece of land he wants. And he goes, I hear there's still some giants living up there. I want that area. I want to go kill me some giants. I mean, he's like the ideal Dodger fan. No, I'm just saying. But but that's Caleb. He's a brave guy, and he speaks up. Joshua sides with him, but at this point, we don't know if Joshua said anything. Later, we find out that Joshua was in on it with him. But basically, they were shouted down. Basically, the people were like, oh, that's crazy. That's a bad idea. We can't do this. And the people said, their response to Caleb was, we were like grasshoppers compared to the people over there. We were these little wimps. And there's no way we can do this, no matter what God says. So now as we get into chapter 14, they begin to plan their next step. Now, I've told you many times, the majority is almost always wrong. So if you listen to what most people say, you'll almost always miss out on what God has for you. But now the people are saying, we need a new leader. What they're basically saying is, we've been believing that what Moses was saying was from God. And now it's looking like it wasn't. This was a bad idea. Let's pick another leader and let's go back to Egypt. We'll go back where we came from. It would be better than this. Now, in verse 5, it says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Finally, Moses and Aaron are speechless. And they're just like, you went in there, the place is awesome, these grapes are good. And now you're leaving? Now you want another leader and you want to go back where you were? Why did we go through all that we've gone through for 2 years? Manna from heaven, water from the rock, cloud by day, fire by night, revelation from God, an entire set of rules about how to conduct ourselves when we're in the land. And you quit? You're quitting on us? And they just laid there on the ground. And at this point, it says that Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute here. And they both just ripped their clothes. It was the way they would mourn. They would be, it would be like Hulk Hogan as he's going into the ring and just like, whoosh, just rips off their shirts. And it says in verse 6 there, chapter 14 of Numbers, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk, chocolate, and caramel. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. We can eat them alive. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And then the glory of the Lord shows up at the tabernacle of meeting. So they said, what are you guys doing? If God's with us, we can do this. We can live here. And you're looking like you're going to go back to being slaves, to give up on what we've all talked about since we were little kids, what our parents talked about when they were little kids, coming to this incredible land. And in fact, it is as incredible as we ever imagined. It's better than we could ever dream. And now you're going to walk away from this? But the people just, people don't like visionaries. They'll usually kill them. And so they were ready to stone him. And then all of a sudden that cloud, that presence of God went to the tabernacle of meeting. And God has another, as you read on in the chapter, he has another one of those conversations with Moses where he says, Moses, I told you before. I don't like saying I told you so, but I'm going to have to kill these people. And I'll make a great nation of you instead. And Moses is again like he's going, I totally understand what you're saying, but God, you still have made promises. And those promises haven't been yet fulfilled. And so you can't do this. How can you do it? And God says, well, first of all, I'm going to kill those 10 spies because they're the ones that have whipped the people up and made them afraid of what they might do. And Moses is like, yeah, I'm good with that. And so a plague came and killed those 10 guys. And then God says, but I still can't take these crybabies into the land. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to destroy them. I'm just going to let them live out their lives in the natural way of what it's like when you live in the desert, of what it's like when you are refusing to move forward where God is taking you. And so they're going to wander in the wilderness for the next 38 years. And then they'll all die off, except for Joshua and Caleb. And then the kids, they'll accomplish what I wanted to do for their parents, because they're going to end up believing in me, and we will move forward, and they will inherit the land that their parents could have, but they refused to. And he said, Joshua and Caleb are the only two guys who are actually going to fulfill the promises that they've experienced. They will be the two oldest guys walking into the land. They could be going in at the age of 40, but they're going to have to wait until they're about 80 before they get to go in. And imagine two 80-year-old guys leading a bunch of people who are at least 20 years younger than you or more. But that's what's going to happen, because the kids will understand the vision that the adults will not understand. And so the rest of the book of Numbers, they're wandering around in the desert, going in circles, turning a journey that could have taken them to the promised land in a matter of days, had it not been for all the time they spent at Sinai, about a year there. Now it's going to take another 38 years before they ever fulfill that which God had promised them. And why is that? First of all, you need to realize, how much of our time do we spend wandering in the wilderness? How much of our time do we spend not really going for it, not really experiencing the fullness of life, but just kind of spinning our wheels and just trying to survive? We can relate to this. The reason why they had to do that, the same reason why we have to, and look at verse 9 of chapter 14, where Joshua and Caleb are saying, do not rebel against the Lord, Yahweh, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord, Yahweh, is with us. Do not fear them. So it's pretty simple. They didn't get to go in the land because they were rebellious. Rebellion is when you say, I am not going to do what God wants me to do. I refuse. But they were also, at the root of rebellion always is fear. You're always afraid, and fear refers to a sense of anticipation that I think if I do this, I think if I go this way, if I think I make this decision, there's going to be a lot of pain and discomfort that might come from me. So I am choosing to make choices based on what makes me least afraid. And so that's kind of where they were, and it kept them out of the land. And for us, the same thing is true. Same thing is true. We rebel against God. We don't do what we know he wants us to do. And it all comes down to what we're afraid of, what we think is going to happen if we do what God wants us to do. Now, a lot of times what that looks like is, I don't really know what God wants me to do. And I've told you before, I think most people who say they don't know what God wants them to do are lying. I think they know what God wants them to do. I think they just don't want to do it because they're afraid of what's going to happen. So they keep asking, hoping that God tells them to do something other than what he's told them. But there are some people who don't have a complete sense of, okay, God, what do you want for the rest of my life? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to? But for most of us, it's fear that obscures all of that, obscures the voice of God. That's why they're questioning whether Moses is really hearing from God, because they didn't like what he was telling them to do. And they're thinking, no, I don't think God would say that. So for every one of us, there is this tension, the same tension that they had. Do I do what God really wants me to do? Or do I hold back? Do I walk in circles because I'm afraid? The Bible has a whole lot to say about fear. You know, Jesus was constantly having to tell the disciples, don't fear, don't fear, fear not. Throughout the scriptures, God is going, you just need to fear me. Don't fear anything else. Solomon said in Proverbs 29, the fear of man is a snare. It will trip you up every time. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And John said in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing out of fear that's causing us to be held back from where we could be? And so let's just get really personal. In your life, in who you are, and in who I am, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from living a life that is vital, that is fresh? What's keeping you from the life that's full and enriching? What are you afraid of?
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com. or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Well, let's return to Pastor Dave for the rest of his message, Spying the Land.
If you're thinking, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I would do anything that he tells me to do. Really? Are you sure he hasn't told you? But if you seriously want to know what God wants you to do, let me give you a tip, a good way to do it. Ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What is it that scares me to death? And it may or may not be something that God wants, but when you start thinking about what you're afraid of, you may then discover what it is that God has actually been, you know, the vision that he's been casting for you. Because we crush those always with fear. And so if we start thinking about our fear a bit, we may end up discovering that idea that we had a long time ago that we just kind of pushed aside because we thought that's too scary. And we may be able to actually move into living a real life. A lot of people today, especially young people, love taking risks. It's a cultural phenomenon whereby things are exciting just because they're dangerous. If you watch the extreme sports, and now they've got into the Olympics, but you have the X Games. It's basically people doing crazy, scary things just to look in the face of fear and say, I'm going to do this anyway. Why do you think that is exciting for younger people? Because I think they have seen older people and what they do by being so careful, by being so afraid. I mean, and most of us were raised by fear, let's face it. You know, I really thought that shooting rubber bands or flying airplanes was going to put someone's eye out. I never saw a guy with one eye walking around and go, oh, what happened to you, airplane, you know. But we did that. You know, I've told you before this weird thing where we did nuclear bomb drills in elementary school when I was a kid, hiding under a particle board desk, covering our eyes, so in case we were nuked, we would be just fine. But it's that living by fear, and I think there's a younger generation that goes, I don't want to do everything because of fear. Our society is so afraid. In New York City, you can't even buy a large Coke anymore. And I don't even drink Coke. But come on, is that really the message that we want to send? You know, the global warming's going to kill us, especially when global warming makes it so cold. And, you know, everything that we're doing, and Christians are no better. It's constantly making people afraid. Oh, be careful, you do that, you do that. And there are young people who are just going, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to take some crazy risks.
We'll save the rest of the study for next time. Read ahead here at Numbers chapters 13 and 14, and join us Monday for The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and yeah.